All right, the club is back. We got the final two games, four teams left in the NFL playoffs, including Jack's beloved Baltimore Ravens. We'll talk about the divisional round action from this weekend. And also our two guys, Jack and Peter Jennings, competing in the Gill shootout that took place over the weekend as well. We'll get the recap from that. This is the club. I'm Pete. Let's go. All right, we should have Andy joining us shortly, but we got Clay, we got Jack housing some food. Is this, are you live from the BDG offices / Snapback Sports offices?
We are live. I didn't fully plug in though, so I probably should have, but we are in New York City.
Professional content creator, you know.
Yeah. I know, right?
I saw the kind of office tour stuff that you guys both posted. Like, the space looks legitimately awesome. I'm very jealous that you guys have that space to go to regularly.
Yeah, it's cool. It's funny. The BDG team, I learned yesterday, they don't do Mondays. So they like came in for 2 hours. They were all out by one. But
wow,
I think they're in today. So yeah,
there you go. Yeah, man. So we'll I'd say we gotta dig in here to Gill shootout right off the top. First of all, I'll actually ask a question very unique to you. How much of the Ravens game did you miss? Because you were very worried about the scheduling conflict with that.
So I'm not gonna lie. I it really threw me off. Like, Josh jokingly tweeted like his head was in Baltimore. Like, my head was literally in Baltimore because, so essentially the way the gym was set up, where we were like getting called out. So we were getting called out at like 4:30 Eastern, but the game hadn't started yet. So I ran out and I ran back into the lobby to watch the game. And essentially I got there at 10 a.m. There was an annex gym where I warmed up, felt great, got shots up off the rack, and then got a good sweat in, did a cool down, went over to the main gym. They had, like, you could fully practice before anyone was there. Like, they had 8 rebounders for you, racks fully staffed, all this stuff. And I went through that in like my sweats and like not even my basketball shoes. I made like 15 of 25. When I say like this projection was like such a bad projection, That's like, I genuinely believe that. And Casey, who you guys know, who's my biggest hater in the world, even he was like, okay, this is a bad projection. So essentially what happened is, then we're at that gym for like probably two hours. I didn't eat anything heavy. And I thought that, so I found out I was going sixth. And so I was like, all right, this is perfect. I'm just going to do like a 30-minute warm-up and like get back into that rhythm. Mm-hmm. And so then I went and I started watching the game, and like I fully half-assed the warm-up. Like I just couldn't move the space to warm up was like this wide. And so I'm watching the game. And so I went out there and I'm ice cold. Like, I'm trying to move. My back had tightened up because I'm an old fucking man apparently. And
welcome.
And Jennings said like the pressure got to him, which the pressure, like, it didn't get to me. That I would admit, like, whatever the fault was, you're essentially, you took a cold shooter, or sorry, an awful shooter, as you guys know, pair that with being cold. And then I described it as an avalanche, because then the first rack, I think I missed them all. Maybe I made one of them. And then it just kind of compounded. And I think the final shot to the chest was, I ran over to the corner, which was the second to last rack, and like a bunch of underdog people were there. And I got like the, it's all right, Jack, like, keep going. And I was like,
the pity.
Yeah. I was like, God, like, this is bad. On top of that, like, I don't know if anyone could hear the audio, but like, the commentator was Mouthpiece, who's like this hilariously famous LA-based kind of play-by-play, whatever. He's just a loud person, hence his nickname, Mouthpiece. The guy, so you were shooting at the same time. Gabe York is like, he catches fire. I mean, he was in the NBA last year or G League last year. And so mouthpiece is going, that's one in a row, two in a row. And he gets up to eight. And ironically, I think I had also missed eight in a row. So in my head, I'm like, eight misses in a row. Like it was just like, and so I say all of this because on the last rack, I think I made like three of five and one of them really rimmed out. The scoreboard, because at this point, I felt going in like maybe I could advance if I had a really good round and get in. I knew I wasn't winning the whole thing. My goal was just to get to 11 because I thought a lot of people were going to be riding with me. Found out that the action was actually pretty split evenly, which made me happy because at least I made some people money. But the people who were like, you threw it for underdog, like, no, I didn't, because the action was literally dead even. Anyways, I get to the last rack and the scoreboard, which I learned after the fact, was normally like one or two shots delayed. That was the only thing that was kind of like out of sync. So when I looked up, I was at six. And so mentally, I went in being like, I got to make the whole rack. I think I made like the first or second, and the third one rimmed out. And so I kind of like chalked it up the last two shots. Like, obviously, I still tried to make them, but mentally, I just wasn't there. And I didn't realize I just needed to make one of them. So I say all of that to say, if we run it back and they set it at 10.5, take the higher again. It was an absolutely atrocious performance. I will not, I will take full blame. I requested from the fans that if I went lower, that I wanted my DMs to look like an athlete when they blow, one of their parlays or one of their bets. I'm cool with that. Consideration of here's what happened, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed by that. And then, of course, to only come up one short, everyone got hooked there. It was a tough hook, but you made some money. So
see, yeah, when those lines went live, when we were on the club a few weeks back or whatever, when they posted it. And so for the bid equity, I just smashed Max the under there on both. No line movement, though. Yeah.
No, there was line movement. It popped to 11.5 on game day.
I missed the 11.5. Good.
Which is actually where, like, I didn't even want to make 11 and have, like, half of people being like, oh, you still want, like, that would have just been too confusing. So it was better that I just went full under on every number. Everyone wins. Yada, yada, 20, yada. Jack. I did beat Gil in the rival. Like, Gil made 12. Now, his performance was, like, an abomination. That was embarrassing. But, like, Jack plus 9.5 versus Gil, that was a convincing W. So I just want to put that out there.
There you go. But you got the rivals dub. I think what you should do, should do the PR spin, though, and you should just be spotlighting Jenna, because isn't she part of the snapback agency umbrella?
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow,
she is a baller, dude.
She lights that thing up. It was insane. The only reason she didn't win the whole thing was because the guy who won was an actual machine. Like, he just loaded, like, it was a robot with his skin on it. He just loads the ball into his shoulder, flick of the wrist, and it goes in over and over again. It was, like, unbelievable to watch, which actually made Jenna's performance even more incredible because we know how good of a shooter she is, but she was on fire, and she still couldn't beat this guy. It was cool. I mean, it ran. I told the team afterward, Tim and Jeremy, who we were with too, like, for a first-time event of that scale, live, rules, having Pick'em in it, like, it actually went off without a hitch. There wasn't a single issue. The only, I think, thing of question was, like, were they going to call line violations, which they did, and, like, Nick Young kind of stepped on the line four times, and so they knocked it, like, they ruled. Yeah, they ruled on that. And, it was an amazing event, but to get back to your prior question, how locked in was I and how much of the game did I see? I saw pretty much every single snap. And the funniest one was Jenna was up. And it was when the Ravens were tied 10.5. They come out of the half and Lamar runs it in for the touchdown. She's in the middle of her shooting and people are like cheering, but it's generally quiet. And Casey and I each have an AirPod in and we both stand up and scream like, yeah, like when Lamar scores. And then we just like stayed standing, acting as if we were rooting for Jeff because our reaction, like everyone started looking at us like, why are you so excited that you just made that shot? So yeah, I saw most of it. I'll be there on Sunday, hopefully, seal the deal, head to Vegas.
I tapped in for a little bit. And I think when I tapped in, the channel had 23 or 24K watching live.
Yeah.
Which is,
I think it peaked 20, that's pretty crazy. 29. Crazy. Well, two notes. One, I think it's great that one of the pros or ex-pros didn't win. But like Gil was out round one. I think McCants was out round one. Brandon Jennings was out round one. So that probably didn't help for viewership. So I actually think it could have even gone up more. Obviously, us knowing that NFL was going on, I'm sitting there watching the Ravens game, as I said, right before we were about to run out. And Gil goes, what the heck? Why is there football on? We picked this because there was supposed to be no football on in January on a Saturday. And I'm like, Gil, I'm cracking up. But I also think like when we remove ourselves from this bubble, there are a whole host of people who just like they don't even know NFL. They don't care about NFL. And so Gil's arena, they were going to tune in regardless if it was Saturday, if it was Sunday, whatever. But it was just funny to see like how, you know, how online we all are. And then for them to not even know that there would be an NFL game that day was, I thought was funny.
Yeah. I probably got to watch about 10, 15 minutes of it. Just kind of glancing in, but the production looked top notch. It looked, I love that they had like kind of a crowd there too. I bet that gave it a different energy. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff, like from, like you were saying, from an organizational standpoint is a huge, huge undertaking, and the production value was awesome on it.
Yeah, it was crazy. Very impressive.
Andy, how are you doing? How was your divisional round weekend?
It was pretty good. I broke even in dailies, have some nice teams. I don't have any of the Ravens, Niners super teams advancing still, but I do have some really, really good teams.
Nice.
Basically, I'm sorry, Jack. I'm like very heavily rooting against the Ravens for my bags. But
it's all good. We got DVOA on our side, baby. Yeah. We got DVOA.
But yeah, good. Otherwise, the Milwaukee Bucks head coach was just fired. Like
I just saw that
like a minute ago. So
that's actually kind of interesting. They're not, I mean, they're still second or third in the East. They've been struggling in a whole host of options. But, like, when they made the hire, there were a lot of question marks. But I think Giannis, like, backed him. So, that's actually pretty interesting that they did that early on. But there's obviously a major issue.
And isn't there, like, a long history with, like, this generation of, like, NBA super teams where it takes a long time for them to, like, gel and figure out kind of where they fit in with each other? Like, that shouldn't have been too big of a shocker, right?
They're still second in the East. I mean, they're 30 and 13. They're, marginally behind.
Like, Giannis literally had a triple-double last night. Like, I think it's Dame's just not shooting great. Yeah, it's a little bizarre.
Damn.
They're on a two-game win streak, too.
Yeah, they had drama earlier on this season, before the season even started, actually, where they fired their assistant coach, and I think that some of the people on the team were maybe not that, you know, they maybe liked the assistant coach more. I think there was a bit of like a power dynamic struggle and stuff. I don't really know. I think it's definitely interesting considering some of the other coaches that they could have potentially had as opposed to Adrian Griffin. But yeah, I have no idea who is kind of like, you know, up next theoretically for that role. Be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's another assistant, Joe Prutney. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm sure that's just going to be like an interim thing, though. Like, I doubt that he's going to be their long term coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw Field Yates tweeted he was the Bucks head coach for just 43 games, tied for the third shortest head coaching tenure in NBA history.
Crazy. Wild. At 33-10. Like, right. It's not like they're 10-33. That's insane.
Man. At that point, do you think like some of the players, like with huge sway, like Giannis chirping at ownership or whatever?
But that's the thing. Apparently, it was a hire for Giannis.
That's surprising.
That's what makes this whole thing bizarre. Like, yeah, it's I don't know.
He did something sketchy. Yeah, it does seem like it would have to be like more like off the court. And there's a lot of politics and coaching stuff, but it seems like it might even be beyond politics. Like,
Greg, shout out Greg in the chat. Don't let the Bucks firing their coach distract you from the fact that Embiid dropped 70 last night, and Cat went nuclear too, right?
Yeah, he had 62, I think.
He went nuclear for three quarters and then sputtered out. But
you sound like someone who might have had him on a fantasy team or two and was looking for a little more.
I did not. I think you'd be proud of me, Pete. I have not been playing NBA. My mental health has skyrocketed while I have not been playing redacted NBA DFS this year. It is really crazy, the correlation there. So no, I just was a fan last night. But it did make me want that half off price of NBA League Pass looking pretty sexy right now after last night. So we might be getting back in the streets. I am itching. I wasn't joking that I woke up. I had like a nice hit of like underdog pick 'em over the weekend. I was like, man, this might get me back in at least the daily NBA streets a little bit.
By the way, if anyone on this stream and chat, you want to talk correlation between the head of winning, losing his pick'em projection and hitting an underdog slip. This has got to be the coldest streak of my life. I couldn't hit a slip. If you actually told me the results of the game, I don't think I could hit a slip right now. I've never been down worse in my life. It's like, because I'm not even looking at projections anymore, matchup. I'm actually just getting to the point where I'm clicking certain buttons saying, not even scorchers, just saying like, okay, these should hit 1 in 5. So I should at least hit 1 every 10. Still no. So anyone who has a winner for me, please. But like, all right, another perfect example. What was my favorite pick for Saturday's game for the Ravens? Lamar Jackson, higher yards. Not touchdowns, not fantasy points, not no interception, not passing touchdowns, not to have a rushing touchdown, yards. The only, not rushing yards, total yards. The only Lamar Jackson prop that did not hit. So yeah, anyone that has a winner, please, I'm begging. Literally, Jack, I had on the final drive.
You got to contra trade yourself. You need to make an entry and then say, no, I'm doing the opposite of everything.
I'm trying that, but then 2 of 3 hit. Like, that's actually the biggest problem. I'm not even full fading myself. It's always 1 of 3 or 2 of 3. But the third one is never close, like not even remotely close, except for what happened on the last drive of the Chiefs-Bills game. I had 2 separate slips that were 2 for 3 with the third one pending. The last one was Bass kicking points higher, which he missed the field goal, which then led to 3 Patrick Mahomes kneel downs, which flipped that one. So I finished 1 for 3 on that one. And then the other one, I had hit 2 scorchers on the slip. I think it was Mike Evans touchdown and one more. No like crazy odds. And the last one was a Josh Allen pick, which he threw an interception. Fucking what's his name hit his hand. It would have landed in Steve's lap. It's brutal. Brutal. I mean, I will say, Josh Allen pick in that game, I wouldn't say it was necessarily like deserved, but on that play specifically, that should have been intercepted. Anyways, anyone, yes, down so bad. Just help me. Someone help me.
The new meta with all of the prop betting sports, betting content creators is they're all now doing their 100 to 1,000 challenges. I think you need to do 100 to losing 1,000 challenge. Like, at least get some content going out of this. How quickly
that's
can I race to the bottom?
A Saturday. That is called Saturday. And I do the challenge again on Sunday. Like, it's insane. I should get back in the Top Shot streets, flip 100 to 100,000. Maybe that's what I need to be doing.
Maybe if you actually petitioned Underdog to change your title, the head of losing, then you could reverse mush yourself.
That could be interesting.
I like that. Okay. But then I will say, pick'em success down, but team success has never been higher. So I guess for a trade-off with that, I'm willing to do it for now. But man, I don't know how much longer this could last. It's like, you want to talk deposit kingdom. I am the deposit fucking god right now. Like, literally, I think there's a link between my PayPal and Underdog, and it just refreshes daily. It's insane.
We appreciate you giving back to the ecosystem, Jack. Keep it coming, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Clay, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Niners. What's the Super Bowl going to be?
I think it's going to be Ravens Niners. We got to go with the color coordination on the Super Bowl logo, obviously. I wouldn't hate a little Lions in my life, though. I do think the problem is like the Lions will get waxed by the Ravens. The best game is going to be Ravens 49ers for sure. So I think that'll happen. It's the most likely outcome. They're favorites for a reason. Whole nine yards. Lions Super Bowl is the best story by far. And I don't really think anything else matters after that. So it's like, if we don't get that matchup, I'm not gonna be mad at the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. It just feels like after all they put us through this season, 18 weeks of fantasy fucking hell, like if they just like turn it up for the playoffs and make this run to the Super Bowl, it's kind of just like, all right, great. But it just doesn't feel like the Chiefs year. Like I was all over the Chiefs last year. I was like loved in the Super Bowl spot against like the Eagles. Felt fantastic. Like the vibes are high. I'm not on the Chiefs like right now. I don't want to see it in my life. I want a little.
They're not a Dan Campbell. I was trying to figure out if I'm just bored of them in their success, but I also think they're objectively not as fun of a team to watch. Like they're not the aesthetically pleasing Chiefs.
Well, because their skill position players suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because, like, I mean, I think Pacheco is like fun to watch, and he is good.
Would you say he runs like he's mad at the ground, Clay?
I mean, one might say that, but I think that's a little fucking played out. You know, so
no shit.
Yeah,
The tweet that got picked up this week is like Pacheco and Roquan Smith and the whole like it could just create another plan really like that. That would be a good collision. My hot take. Look, let me preface this.
Oh boy.
With it's a game of football, 60 minutes, oblong ball, anything could happen. Pat Mahomes is on that side of the field. My hot take is that one, you said the best game. I actually think the best game would be Niners Chiefs. I think that would be the most evenly matched game. I also, when we had this conversation a couple months ago, I think that I get why a couple months ago it would have been the case. These projected look-ahead lines, the Niners would open as favorites over the Ravens, I think is wild. Like, I actually don't think that anyone – because what's going to happen is you will have a demolition of – if the Ravens got there, they would have demolished Houston and they would have beaten Patrick Mahomes. I think that really will spin the public. And then obviously you have to see how each team wins. But I think the Chiefs and the Niners are I probably power rate the Niners a couple points better than the Chiefs. I mean, when we look back at the season, if everything goes to plan, I really think this Ravens team could go down as one of the best ever. Like, DVOA numbers are literally there. I know he wasn't the overwhelming favorite, but, like, Lamar Jackson won the MVP award. The defense was literally the leader in every statistical category. Like, there's a chance that we'll look back and be like, oh, it was right in front of our faces. This was clearly one of the best teams ever. Similar to like how the Nuggets were last year, where every metric was there, but just because they hadn't done it before, you assumed like, okay, well, they got to play LeBron. Well, the Ravens got to play the Chiefs. But the Ravens and the Nuggets were so much better that they just overwhelmed them. That doesn't mean that Nuggets-Lakers games didn't come down to the wire. It doesn't mean that in a single game versus a series – but, like, I think if this was a seven-game series, no CTE, no injuries, like, I think that the Ravens would be favorites in any series, which is why I don't even understand why the Niners are going to be favorites in a single game. So,
Lamar's underrated. Like, he's still underrated, and he's about to win his second MVP. Like,
I get why. I get why, because up until the second half, like what he did in the playoffs was just not proven. And it's still not, like he still has to put together another game. But what Pat Mahomes has done, we get why the Lions are like that. But I really think, I mean, the Ravens have beaten the shit out of both of these teams already, like in the NFC. The Niners game, a little closer, yards per play, all that stuff. But like the Ravens have every stat you look at, 10 wins against team winning records and 9 of them by double, like 2 touchdowns. They beat 6 playoff teams this year. Like literally every metric is kind of insane. So we'll obviously lose on Sunday because that's how the shit goes. But I do think there's a
chance. You're trying to do like reverse jinx on reverse jinx.
No, I'm just saying that I'm not naive to the fact that. Like, yeah, the mush is messy. I'm not naive to the fact that it's a single game. Anything could happen. I just think that people are, like Clay said, they're underrating how good this Ravens team has been literally all year long.
And I will say, I think it's I kind of agree with Jack. I think the spread should probably even be a little bit more. And I will say, if the Chiefs upset the Ravens and say the Niners win, that spread will be far too tight, because the narrative then will be the Chiefs are inevitable. It does not matter who you are. They just blow through it. Just, you can't stop it. Like, that will be the narrative. And I think that's happening to a little bit of an extent here. I mean, I even feel that way. It's just like, well, fuck, they pull off the Bills one. It's just like, here they go again, even though the Ravens are definitely a much better team.
Well, Jack, let me ask
you. But if they beat that Ravens team, like, then the narrative becomes even more true. That's why I was laughing that the Niners' look ahead was 3 against the Chiefs. And I was like, there is no way. I know Vegas can open the line at 3, because that might be the accurate, fair, power-rated line. I understand that. But if Mahomes just went as a 3-point dog to Buffalo and won, he won as a 3.5-point dog in Baltimore, won as a 3-point dog in the Super Bowl last year, you think there's any sicko, you know, who isn't a sharp, that isn't going to be hammered? Like, they will have so much action on Chiefs' money line. They'll have no choice but then to either take a side and say, you know what, we're sticking to our numbers, or they're going to move that line like crazy. Yeah.
Andy, what do you think the line would be for Ravens Niners versus Chiefs Niners?
Chiefs Niners.
That's the one. That's the line I care about, because I do think the look at lines are fairly accurate on what they're going to open.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think that the Chiefs would get a ton of steam if they beat the Niners. And like Evan says in the chat, I think like the Taylor Swift narrative thing is like a very real thing that will, like, not obviously not what I think for who will win the game, but like as far as like the way that the general public is like doing things, like the Jason Kelce shirtless, all this kind of stuff, like it does influence the average guy who pulls up FanDuel and makes a bet.
For sure.
I think it would probably finish, honestly, like, I think it would start, like Jack was saying, with Niners probably 3.5 or something, 3, but I think it would creep up to like 1. I could even see it being a pick'em, honestly. Just like, I think that I think a part of it too really depends on how Purdy plays this week. Like, if they eke by this week against the Lions and it's a close game, and like Purdy doesn't have a great game again, I think that you could even end up with the Chiefs being favored if, like, Mahomes. Because, like, how do the Chiefs beat the Ravens?
If
Mahomes goes fucking nuclear. And then, like, the narrative kind of tells itself of just, like, how are you going to pick Purdy over Mahomes?
I actually think the only way they win is the opposite. Like, I think it's the defense shuts down the Ravens' offense and they win a tight one. But that's besides the point. The one hypothetical line that actually doesn't make sense to me is they have Ravens minus 3.5 versus Detroit. I don't see any work, right? Like, but, and then the Niners are 6.5 against.
They beat them 30 to what, Spain, earlier this year?
Yeah.
This is actually a great question.
It would be a 5 before you blink. Go ahead.
No, Jack, what do you think about this? So there's a narrative about, like, Lamar has had all the success against, like, NFC teams because it's the first time they've ever faced him. They're not used to him. It's not the conference division stuff. Now, if the Ravens do beat the Chiefs this weekend, you're going to be facing a team in the NFC that you faced already once a season. Do you think that flips the tables a little bit? Are you more nervous about the potential Super Bowl matchup than you are even with this championship matchup?
Well, it is funny. It's like, would you rather be playing Patrick Mahomes or Jared Goff? Is your question, essentially. But that is something that, like, when we were seeing who we might... Yeah, it's someone, when we were looking at who we're going to play in the divisional round, it was guaranteed to be a repeat of a team we had played earlier that season. And we knew that the AFC Championship, once it got to Chiefs Bills, we hadn't played either of those. And there is a very legitimate, we see it all the time. It's why Lamar's owned the NFC the first time they see him. Those teams haven't seen Lamar a ton outside of that one game. But I think it does add a little bit of edge there that they have seen it. It's really just like the speed and the way that the Ravens play. It's so unique that I think teams, until they're halfway through the game, they're like, holy shit, like, this is what it's like. But the Chiefs defense has seen it in years past. But it's such a different offense with Monken as opposed to Roman and all the weapons. I mean, we own the Niners. We killed Detroit. If the Ravens beat the Chiefs, I think they should be favorites in the Super Bowl. And I mean, I would rather play Detroit, if that even has to be said. But beating Pat is on our mind.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, there's obviously too some, wrinkles. I don't think Mark Andrews moves the line, big, but that's just another big, I think for the Super Bowl, like going against the Niners, having that extra weapon would be huge. And then like the Debo stuff. I mean, they looked a little out of sorts without Debo. Granted, they'll have a full week to prep without him this week, but like that first play where they gave Juwan Jennings the jet sweep, and it was like, do you guys think he's just a Debo replacement that you could just keep running?
The explanation was even wilder.
Yeah. Like, I didn't see that play.
He was in the game.
More or less successful than running a jet sweep with Mecole Hardman. Where, like, how bad was the play?
He didn't fumble out the back of the end zone, but
it's still less successful.
Okay.
No.
Okay, less successful.
Yeah, I think the Mark Andrews stuff is curious. Like, what I'm most interested there is, like, I feel like, among fantasy sports fans, people have been like, oh, Likely is a really good player, and he just, like, hasn't gotten that opportunity with Andrews there. But, like, now that he's had so much time and, like, very clearly proven himself, and, like, the Ravens wide receivers are not anything special. Like, obviously, I think Zay is good, but, like, outside of him, I'd rather be throwing to Likely than any of those other guys, honestly. Make the case for OBJ. I'll be curious to see how they, or if they like change their offense at all to get him, like keep him more involved when Andrews is back. I don't really know what to expect.
There's an actual concern amongst Ravens Twitter that he'll like mess up the flow, mess up the vibes. It reminds me a lot of like the Tyler Hero stuff in last year's finals, where I understand you've kind of shifted your fundamentals and you have this rotation in place, but 99 out of 100 times adding back, we're not talking about like Rashad Bateman coming back. We're literally talking about like Mark Andrews, top three tight end in football. If you can't find a way to use him, then you probably have bigger problems. But there's legitimate concern that the way that Lamar kind of goes through his reads, and one thing that I think Marlon might have told me, I don't remember who it was specifically, but Mark, similar to Travis Kelce, him and Lamar like to freelance a little when he's playing. And so a lot of those times where like you'll see Kurt Warner making fun of our route combinations because we have three guys running to the same space, that's actually because Mark has kind of freelanced it. It's worked out tremendously more than it's worked out negatively. But in this system where the offense is kind of flowing, I understand where it's like, all right, run your route and do what you're supposed to do, because that's how the defense plays. Like Ed Reed, like this defense jokes, like Ed Reed would not be a good player on the Ravens defense because everything is just like so structural, and Ed Reed would literally like try and jump screen passes, So it would be a positive, but I'm with you. If Debo's out, I'm going to take Detroit. I think that the way Detroit matches up with San Francisco, number two run defense in the NFL, so being able to limit Christian McCaffrey, and without Debo, like what does that team look like? And the Niners defense, you want to talk about the Ravens being underrated? The Niners defense could be the most overrated unit in football. Like names wise, they're sexy as hell. I mean, you got Bosa, Young, Kinlaw, all the Warner, but like run defense, they're bottom 10 in the NFL. Pass defense, they're middle of the pack. And if you can block them up, which the Lions have the pieces to do that, I think they're a live dog. And it's Goff versus short Goff. Like, it's literally the same quarterback is out there.
Baby Goff. You have baby Goff, baby Goff.
I mean, it will be Goff doing something he hasn't done, which is go on the road outdoors against a good defense and win. Obviously, they had the Ravens game, which was a meltdown. I think the Niners are a good comp for that. And then it's that Bears game that I always have a hard time getting out of my head. On the road there at Soldier Field, just had a complete meltdown there where Goff is a front runner. He's like so when things funny. Are going good and the environment's good, he starts rolling, gets confident. And the second the chips are down, he just fucking melts.
He's like opposite Baker Mayfield. So
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually insane. Like, it's the same story every time. And I think if you're questioning, like, how much can the weather affect you, like, look at the difference between Stroud in the dome versus just outside on Saturday. Like, it makes the flow to a same thing, like, front running wise. I don't think it's going to be bad weather, though, in San Fran. That's another thing that I'm kind of monitoring, right? Like, if it's 50 degrees, we're not talking 30s, we're not talking high winds. Obviously, rain would throw them off, but, like, I don't know. And then the last thing for me is everyone, you know, including some people who are Niners fans in this office who I keep joking with, they're like, the Lions are due for regression on the defensive side of the ball, because the Rams drove to the red zone like 6 times and scored, you know, 10 points. And same thing with the Bucks being able to move the ball, but they're forcing turnovers. And with Gardner Johnson back, like, they are making plays. And I think that there's something to be said. If they make a play the way the Packers didn't, like, Green Bay is probably still in the playoffs if they get that pick six or an interception.
Yeah. It'll be fun. I think, like, I wish somehow there was a reality where the Lions were at home versus this Niners team, like, getting that game in the dome. Yeah. Then I feel like we could have, like, one of these fun, like, shootouts and hang, whereas I just think they're going to melt on the road. But, I mean, all of this is, like, reflected in the spread. I mean, 7 points, I think that's a fair number. If you got it up to, like, 7.5, 8, then you start being like, yeah, Lions can cover here. They can do what the Packers did. To me, like, the biggest thing is I feel like they got to feature Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, mm-hmm. they're only giving him like 14 touches. This feels like a game he needs 20 touches if they want to hang, because he's just so explosive and efficient. And I'm just like, you can't – the Niners are going to score their points. And so then how do you keep up? Like, you need your playmakers. They have them. But, like, Gibbs is – he's like the one guy on that team that can take any touch to the house.
What happened? Okay, Pete, let's say they live in a world in which the Lions, you know, come in, surprise upset, win kind of handedly against the 49ers. How do you think that would impact the spread of the Super Bowl should they, like, face, like, the Chiefs, for example? Like, difference, like, versus the Chiefs versus, like, 49ers. Like, let's say, like Lions come in, hang a number on them. It's like, you know, 35 to, you know, 20, 23 or something.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think how would that impact the Super Bowl spread if the Lions come in and show up like that against, like, let's say they face the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Because we were comparing, like, Chiefs and 49ers earlier.
Well, I think it's similar to the stuff with the Chiefs, where, like, that stuff does get baked in. Like, their current form will impact how people are thinking about them. And then they'll be like, oh, now these are the Giant Slayers, you know, and now they can go in here. I mean, also, you would get such a kind of, like, David and Goliath narrative going with Lions and Chiefs. And, like, I think the public would be so excited to be on the Lions in that spot, because hey, can we get the Lions to end this, you know, KC dynasty? Like, that would be a narrative everyone would give.
What is the hypothetical on that one? I actually haven't looked at it. I feel like the Chiefs have to be favorites there, no?
Oh,
I feel like it'd be like Chiefs, like 5.5 or something.
I think it's much closer than that. Let me see. Chiefs, Lions. Chiefs minus 3.5. Yeah. I mean, anything under a field goal, it would be like, of course I'm taking Mahomes laying, field goal against the Lions. But I think 3.5, that one actually makes sense to me.
So what about let's say the 49ers, like, squeak out a victory and Purdy looks mid again? Like, you think that we should Chiefs
against
play, against Lions? The, like, they make it to the Super Bowl and they're playing the Chiefs. Like, do you think that would, like,
I don't, the Chiefs, unless, all right, so the only way, that I think that the Niners are favorites in the Super Bowl is if they cover this weekend. If they do anything less than cover, I can't imagine, I'm not talking about openers, closing line, like, if there's a plus next to Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson's name, people are just going to be on that team. Like, there's just no way that they won't.
Well, especially with
these two played in the Super Bowl, and the Niners were front running the whole way. Like, people are just gonna have flashbacks of fucking Jimmy Garoppolo, you know. Especially if they don't cover.
Yeah. What else was I gonna say here?
Acknowledge something?
Sure, Jack.
The Super Bowl logo. I heard Clay say it. I see the chat saying it.
All right, can't argue with facts, Clay.
I'm gonna ask Clay kindly before I overreact. In your heart, in your gut, and in your mind, do you genuinely believe in that?
No.
What's the conspiracy as I pull up this logo? Because I'm
the conspiracy is that the last at least three years. Super Bowl colors.
Clay, you're leaving out the actual context. They only started adding color to the logo for the first one that it started. That's why it's true.
They've been color. No, it is. The logos used to be colorful.
No, they're not colored.
What do you mean they're not colored?
They just started coloring the letters. I swear
they weren't black and white. Letters.
They were silver. Look.
No, but look, like those old logos right there in the white background.
You're saying
OG logos, like those, like when they used to have like flair, like city flair.
Well, but those were always just based on whatever city they were in.
Yeah, like this is a New Orleans.
Yeah, that's just city. Right. So since they've went to this more like, you know, newer age, like kind of corporate, kind of, you know, like lost some of its, there's an interesting, like, you know, creative design discussion of part of these logos too. But yeah, since then they've aligned with the colors of the teams that have been in the Super Bowl.
And there was originally the Bills or the Bengals one. Like,
yeah, I was just looking at that. We're calling the red yellow overlap is orange. Oh, that's what we're doing.
Okay, so another part of this equation, the graphic that's going viral, they've shaded it to be even more orange because the original people were like, "That's red. It's not even orange." So just for context, then you've got all right. Well, what if it's Lions Chiefs, red and blue makes purple. Okay. Cause then people are going to be like, oh, we knew it was scripted, but we didn't realize it was that. Then you've got, if you notice, the smaller color has won both of the Super Bowls. So are the Niners a lock? But then you might notice that the bottom color has won both of the Super Bowls. So are the Ravens a lock? So it all seems like they're probably going to base it off the results of the game and then say, oh, it was scripted. Of course, that team was going to win the Super Bowl.
The other funny part is, like, at the beginning of the playoff season, I saw a different version of this year's Super Bowl logo that was blue and red, I believe. And so they thought that it was going to be either like the Bills or the Cowboys. And then and then all of a sudden, this version of the logo came out. It's like, oh, it's definitely Ravens 49ers. And at that point, it fit the narrative so well. So it's like,
oh, by the way, it's definitely scripted that the last 2 years, the 2-1 seeds made the Super Bowl have an overwhelming advantage to go to the Super Bowl.
The real scripted conversation would be if this was like the Chiefs colors. And so all of a sudden, like, there's no other purple. So purple wouldn't work unless you wanted to get on some, like, you know, red Lions chemistry situation.
But Clay, well, game one of the season was Lions Chiefs. If you do red and blue, you take the blue purple from the Lions, it overwhelms into purple. And then,
so this is the first Super Bowl tie. That's what we should bet. Exacta finish tie in the Super Bowl. First ever. Yes. Purple was the last color. That's really the story here. I get it.
But you see, this is how the conspiracy theorists win either way, right? Because either the logo preordained it with the script or the NFL rigged it for Taylor Swift to get to the Super Bowl.
100%.
It's one or the other. The conspiracy theorists are going to win no matter what.
People are wrong with the 49ers.
Lions, Ravens. That is fair game.
Lions Chiefs.
No, because then it's Taylor Swift.
You're saying that's the cleanest version. Yes.
Yeah, and no one's saying, like, it was scripted for the Punchline fucking podcast to record. You know what I mean? Like, let's get that narrative going. So the more important narrative is the Josh Allen curse. No team has advanced the next round in the playoffs after beating Josh Allen in the playoffs. So Chiefs are dead. And the Kirk Cousins curse. No team who lost to Kirk Cousins in the regular season has ever played in the Super Bowl. Therefore, the Niners are dead. Lions, Ravens, in Vegas.
I like these.
Speaking of which, Jack, I saw people are incensed that Marlon is hurt and still finding time to podcast. He should be in an ice bath all week, right?
He should be. We actually, I hate that we didn't do the pod this week because Marlon actually is, he wasn't like, I can't podcast and rehab. He was more so taking the approach of like, I don't really want to do content right now. If I'm not on the field, it's just like, I don't want to detract from anything else. But it is, yeah, sometimes I wonder, like, the nice, calm way I ask Clay, like, I would love to have a conversation with the hundreds, and I'm talking like hundreds of people who literally comment being like, you're not playing, like, how are you podcasting? And I'm like, you know how silly it is. But,
it's not a contact sport podcasting, last I checked.
Yeah. Well, it's also like you don't actually work out in the off season unless you post it on Instagram. So, like, you know, just can't happen.
Like, I mean, I get it. Like, people just think if you're not rehabbing, you don't want to be out there. But I think Harb said it.
Yeah, you're not rehabbing 25 fucking hours a day. That's the thing, though. Like, that's right. It's silly. Right. It's
like
silly.
You would actually overextend yourself by doing that. That would be funny.
What kind of content, if the Ravens make the Super Bowl, would you guys like do a pod on location? What kind of additional stuff would you be able to get out of it because of that access?
Yeah, so I have $3,500 to win about $95,000 on the Ravens. And I'm giving you guys this context because I'm, you know, hedge, right, has entered my head. I think there's an interesting middle opportunity.
Was this a preseason bet?
This is when I found out the Ravens were you know how I am. This is all about content. I'll get there. I found out the Ravens were re-signing Lamar, and I was like, all right, they're not going to be like that. And then whatever. So this was in April. So I had that future. But then half jokingly today, I said, like, the value to the company, if the Ravens are in it versus out, like, it's probably worth like a $25,000-ish hedge, because if the Ravens are in it, like, we're going to do opening night, media night, where I'll have a relationship with half the players up there. We'll do a live pod, not live. We'll do a pod live from Las Vegas the week of, which we'll bring in the AdSense dollars. And I'm sure a bunch of people would want to sponsor that. So there's a lot of content and biz riding on this game. So I haven't figured out what I want to do. I'm a degenerate, so I'm probably just going to ride everything out and hope and pray. But yeah, we'll go out there Monday morning, Monday night's opening night media. We're going to do a pod regardless. But it would obviously it would be a lot more fun if he was talking about the game he was supposed to be playing in. And we'll do a whole host of other things.
Well, you should tell Marlon that he should win for the content equity and not for any other reasons. He should get this.
That's always been what I said. It's for content. Like, I'm going to shoot him a text Sunday morning and be like, brother, win the game for the content. Like, that is all that matters here. It's just for the content.
Well, and because he's not allowed to talk unless he's playing. So he's got to win to continue doing content.
It's got to be healthy.
That's it.
Yeah, JGFC suggested this in the chat too. Underdog already has like a full menu of pick'ems up for this weekend. So I think we all watch Picasso Jack give us his favorite picks, and then we will all take the oppo here when we press submit, Jack. So have you taken a scroll through some of these yet?
Pete, what we got to do is we got to hit up Rudman, and if you go to the homepage, we got to make this a pack on the home screen. So it's just oppo Jack pack.
The oppo Jack pack.
The Oppo Jack Pack hit
on
it's
Saturday,
really a win-win. So, either the fans get some grub, or Jack gets continue on this title of head of winning. They get it up on their sponsorship. It really is kind of it's a hedge of sorts for Underdog.
Let's go. Yeah, I want to do two. I want Jack to make a three leg that we all do the opposite of, and then we can go around the horn and each build one with a leg that we like.
I like it.
God damn it. All right, let's do it.
I'll let you look at Baltimore stuff exclusively first here.
Okay. Show me a Justice Hill. What do we have Justice at?
Yeah, we love a little Justice here. So yeah, his like total scrimmage yards last week was at like, I want to say 35 or 36. So he's up to 49.5 this week.
I'm drafting him a lot in the weekly tournament. Nice. If I'm not getting one of like the, you know, kind of three main running backs, I'm actually taking him over Gus Edwards.
15 touches last week in a blowout, which bodes pretty well.
Guys, here's the issue. And this is how deep in my head I am. But this is also years and years of trauma. What's the one thing that the Ravens should be able to do in Sunday's game after watching this past weekend and pretty much the whole season? Should be able to run the ball. I mean, they're allowing 5 yards per carry. The Ravens, historically amazing run offense and number one in the league. So naturally, you would think we would have success running the ball. I know we won't. I don't know how. I just know. I know we won't. And I know, even here's actually what I know.
I know Gus Edwards CMC spicy.
I know for fucking a fact that one of Gus, Justice, or Lamar might be the answer. I will be able to sniff out the wrong one without a doubt. So I'm gonna give you Justice Hill. Higher rushing yards. Not receiving.
Okay.
Not receiving.
Hate to see it. Okay. We're taking the lower on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. First we got to get it in, and then I'll flip the script.
Yeah. Secondary, I would have liked Gus touchdown. So those are kind of the two that you should look to fade, but you can't fade the higher. So just leave Gus out of it for now. Let's move to the pass catchers.
Odell down to 22.5.
Yeah, we really just use it. Like 2.5 extra points made.
Yeah, that one feels.
It'll go lower. I don't know how, but it will.
They score 3 touchdowns.
Or like we should kick 3. We really should. Lock that in. All right, let's go to Kansas City.
Yeah. I really like how this is shaping up.
Okay. And then
it's shaping up for a brutal Sunday for Jack with all these don't hit. The Ravens score 17 points.
Let me see Meikle.
Kelsey, 2 straight Let games over 75. Oh, you want to see Meikle? 9.5 receiving yards. This is a 1.5 receptions. Dude has had 1 reception in each of the past 2 games.
Well, people got sad by his playing time in week 18, which was just really an indication that he was not going to be used
much in the playoffs. What's MVS?
1.5 receptions, 14.5 receiving yards, 3 targets.
So fun fact, you guys, Clay, you were telling me how I think I'm the only person in America who made money on the Chiefs offense this year. Cause I faded Sky Moore to hell. Pete helped me out with Rasheed Rice. And then on when do they play? Sunday's game at halftime. I was like, I know this might seem crazy, but MVS has been in like every single snap that they're running like too wide with Rice. So I took him live plus 700 to have 25 yards. First play of the half. 30-yard catch. It was one of the best feelings of all time. Doubled down on it because then they put 50-plus at plus 700. Hit that. So I am the one person who's made money on the Chiefs offense. With that being said, Justin Watson and Marquez Valdez-Scantling will both go lower on their receptions on Sunday.
Oh.
Both.
Okay. Okay, this is
perfect. Getting spicy.
Yeah, so this is because this is, you know, it's not optimal to do 4 legs, but that's why this is just so perfect for the Jets.
That's why it's perfect. Yeah, I wasn't going to do that.
Higher, lower, lower. We're oppo trading this. I'm go ahead and put it 100. That's how confident I am that Jack's Bush is just this powerful. I'll share this in the chat.
That Tucker one's a little concerning to me, but.
Well, he's going to be kicking field goals. So, you know.
No, we'll go for 2.
Well, yeah, you'll go for 2.
We'll have our punter start kicking extra points. That's my play. I'm going to lock that in for myself.
So now, me, Clay, and Andy will build the
Yeah, help me out. Help me out, please.
I got, well, if Underdog can find my damn location right now, then we'd be in a lot better shape. God damn it. I got my Andy, pick, whatever you want to
be. Or Clay, you got yours? You get yours first, then we'll go to Andy.
Of course. We're going back to the well. It's went over or higher in the last two playoff games. It's Noah Gray higher than 9.5 yards.
Of course you're on.
I like that. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, 2016 yards. That's not a good sign, Clay. Okay. I like this. I mean, we now have between Jack's Oppo and this, like every fringe KC pass catcher having a good game is now where we're at here.
Does that feel so bad in the year of 2024? No, not really.
Andy, what do you got?
Oh man, going back and forth between a couple things. I'm interested. I was interested in the Justice Hill stuff, but I won't copy trade Jack. I also tend to agree with his general vibe on the Kansas City receivers, and I was thinking about it more from the opposite perspective. With Rashee Rice over 58.5 receiving yards.
I like that. Yeah, other than the game last week, I mean, he was just on a tear before that. I am going to go I do think Baltimore is going to try to run interior here. I still like Gus stuff, but want to be including the receiving stuff with him. That's why I feel comfortable that the Jack Mush on Justice is still clean. I'm going to get Gus Edwards, 41.5 yards. My preferred one actually already got pulled. They had him at 9.5 rushing attempts. I love the higher on that. So if they get that back up, but yeah, he's been at or around this or over it most games. And I do think they're going to try to run there. So I like Gus higher than 41.5. All right. So this is the Andy, Pete, Clay trifecta here. Going to drop that in the chat as well. Feels good. I mean, normally I wait till a little later in the week to start building pick-ems, getting a little Tuesday pick-em action. That feels good.
Really ready for off and on the clock this week.
I know.
Old vet at that point.
All right, before we go, Andy, anything else going on your end?
No, not too much. Mostly just been spending time on IKB stuff. We had our first tournament this past week, which was pretty fun.
Nice.
We're actually probably going to be launching another one for the games this weekend, later today or tomorrow. We're kind of going with something a little bit different. I was shocked by how well people did in the first one, but it's you pick 10 pick'ems, kind of similar to filling out a slip, but you just get a point for each one you get correct, and that's the scoring system. And so we had a three-way chop for first last week, with three people all got 9 out of 10 right, which is like pretty crazy. So I'm excited to run it back and see how it goes. The feedback was pretty solid.
Just because I got to make back a little bit of the money I've lost on pick'ems, I'll be sharing for a small fee of $500 my picks in that contest. So if you just want the script on what to do Oppo, you could probably find like an 8 or 9 there and ship that. So, you know, you guys know where to find me. Appreciate it.
Love it. Clay, anything going on in your neck of the woods?
Nah, good. All good things on my end. Like I said, probably gonna dip my toe back in the NBA streets soon. So looking forward to that, but not a full dive in.
There you go. Yeah,
all good things over here. Sad that season's coming to an end.
I know.
Well, we will hopefully have to check back again next week, see how these games and these pick'ems unfolded. Jack, best of luck to your Ravens in keeping the Swifties out of the Super Bowl. And we'll see you guys around here. We're the club here every Tuesday, most Tuesdays at 3:30 PM Eastern, or today 2:30 PM Eastern. You know, we figure it out. Appreciate you guys hanging out in the live chat. You can come hang with us in the Deposit Kingdom Discord. And if you're watching this on delay, I'll drop the link to the pick'ems we built in the comment if you want to tail those. All right, guys, have a great rest of your week. We'll see you soon.